If we're going to have a 20th anniversary service, let me go out of my way saying that the product of what you see here is a vision and the hard work of our pastor and his wife. But that torch has been carried on forward with his boys. I am thankful for their friendship. I am thankful for their leadership. I am thankful for when I was in this church, coming and visiting and trying to walk in and walk out, they each separate times caught me at that door and wouldn't let me leave without a handshake, without a conversation, without knowing that I was welcomed. I appreciate their friendship today because when I'm going through something, I know I have men that will pray with me. When we are just talking, sharing of our lives, I know I have men who will say, you know what, Rob, have you thought about this? And maybe have you considered this? Our 20th anniversary service cannot be taken apart from their work in this place also. They're also the evidence. They're also the fruit of what obedience to God will give you. I'm thankful for their example because it validates the work and it validates the decision and it validates the suffering and the discouragement that you would have had to have gone through in 20 years. To have children have your burden in your heart. To watch your example and to try to emulate and replicate. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Folks, I've decided that I wanted salvation. I've decided that I wanted to make heaven my home. I've decided that I wanted to know Jesus as my God and Savior. I do not have all the answers, and I'm confused along this path that I'm walking, and sometimes I get tripped up. But there is a man of God who has spoken the word, and I have considered the outcome of his life. I have considered the way he's been blessed and the decisions that he's made, and I've made a decision that I'm going to imitate and emulate, and I'm going to do my best to take the example of my leadership. So I have one ask for the congregation today. As we are looking to further our walk with God and making sure we're making the right decisions, consider the decision he had to make to come to Cleveland, to go to the unknown, through adversity, continue to be that example of what God wants in our life. To continually do it with passion and fire. Through his decision, through his calling, through his burden, he was able to save my soul. God used him, and through him, he had a place available to me. He had the right words for me. God was able to use him to reach me. So today we are celebrating 20 years, but I want to talk about the next 20. And I want to talk about the next 30. What legacy will this place be today? And I'm not talking about a Roberts legacy. I'm not talking about a COP legacy. I'm talking about an apostolic legacy in the city of Cleveland. Do we want a place of refuge for our children? Do we want a place of safety for our friends and our neighbors? What are we going to leave behind? It is time that we've considered our burdens. It's time that we've considered our calls. Will you take up? Will you sacrifice? Will you make that hard choice? His burden has saved souls. Will your burden save someone else's? Will your burden open a door and have an availability where souls can be saved? Today I'm asking you to emulate and to imitate the example that our leadership has given us. The example that has been compassionate and understanding and patient with us. 20 years, it's sacrifice. Are we ready to imitate that? Are we ready to replicate that sacrifice so that our neighbors and our friends can be saved? So that our families can be saved? I've been just thinking about this weekend. Where would have I been 6 years ago if he had not reached out to me? If we are going to say thank you to our pastor this weekend, if we are going to honor him for 20 years, let's honor him by accepting our call, by accepting our mission, by heeding the burden that God has given us. Let us be an extension today of his vision, an extension today of his ministry. God, I pray that our pastor's burden is too heavy for his shoulders alone, that it'll take all of us to support him, to carry him, to uplift him, to continue our walks and grow in our own individual walks and path, so that God may use us to reach this city. I want to say thank you, Pastor, for 20 years. Thank you, Pastor, for your example. Thank you, Sister Roberts, for your friendship and for your love and your compassion to me and my wife and for what you do for this church. It's time that we rise up and we begin to emulate and imitate and we begin to do the work of God and carry on this vision for the next 20 and 30 years. Thank you.
Can we just stand one more time and just give the Lord one more hand clap of praise? Can we just magnify his name for a moment? Praise God. We can be seated. I was quite envious of Rob this morning knowing that he was going to preach first because I knew that I was going to stand between you and the food downstairs. So I will preach quickly because I'm hungry. There's one thing you should never do in the morning when there's a banquet. Don't go downstairs. You smell it. You see it. Your stomach starts to rumble. You're in trouble. So I will preach fast if you'll listen fast. But I'd like to give honor to Brother and Sister Roberts. We've only been here about a year and a half. And I can say we came broken. We came not knowing the will of God for our lives. We came feeling like we were a failure. But Brother and Sister Roberts embraced us. They became friends to us. They restored that call that we felt upon the Lord so many years ago. That he assured us, you still have what it takes. God's not done with you yet. That you still have a future in ministry. And a man who's willing to stand alongside us. You know what? Wherever God leads you, we'll be right there. We'll help you. We'll be there to strengthen. We'll be there to encourage. This couple has become very good friends of ours. We love them dearly. We are truly blessed to have them. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, as a church, we are truly blessed for Brother and Sister Roberts, that they heeded the call of God. But if you'll stand and turn with me to give honor to the word of the Lord, to Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. A very familiar portion of Scripture, but I've come to challenge you tonight. Knowing Brother Roberts as I do, he's very thankful for 20 years. But 20 years is not his resting place. 20 years is not his final destination. He's a man of vision, a man who is looking beyond the 20 years to see a 40-year pastoral anniversary service, a 60-year, the Lord tarries. I'm not even going to ask how old you'll be, so I'll let it go. We'll move on. Looking beyond today as to where are we going to be 20 years from now. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to talk to you just for a few moments on the extension of the vision. Thank you, Rob, for opening that up for me. Appreciate it. The extension of the vision. You can be seated. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 6, says, therefore my people shall know my name, therefore they shall know in the day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Paul in the book of Romans, as he writes to the church of Rome, he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We understand this morning there is a progression of a man of God who's called by God to go to a specific city. The man of God may be in a prayer meeting, maybe a prophetic word that was spoken over his life, or maybe during a time of personal devotion, the man of God hears the call of the Lord, how God is calling him to go to a city to preach the gospel, to reach the lost, and to touch those who are downtrodden. And the man of God hears the call of God. And in response, the man of God prepares himself for service. Can I just say this very quickly? Those of you under the sound of my voice, that you know there's a call of God upon your life, that in a moment you've heard the call of God, let me encourage you, it won't just happen. What God desires to accomplish in your life is not just going to happen. It takes time. As a man, as a woman, as you've heard the word of God, as God is calling you to go to accomplish a work, it must be time of preparation. You must find a place of prayer. You must establish a prayer life. You must find a time to get into the word of God, to allow the revelation of the word to speak to you as to who he is and who you are. It takes preparation. Pastor, I feel the call of God upon my life. Mow the grass. God, I want to mow the grass. Pastor, I hear God calling me into service. God's calling me into ministry. Oh, why don't you clean the bathroom? Okay, I'll clean the bathroom. Why? Because God will never elevate. God will never use us until we learn what it is to serve. To know what it is to have a heart of a servant. Had to be in obedience to the man of God. In the process of preparation within the heart of the man of God, God begins to birth a burden. A burden that leads the man of God into prayer and intercession for the city in which God is calling him unto. A burden that every time he speaks of that city, tears well up in his eyes. Or every time he mentions the city of his calling in conversation, it seems like the man of God becomes emotional. Why? Because a burden is burning. As he begins to pray, as his burden begins to overwhelm the man of God, God begins to open a door. God begins to remove mountains. God begins to remove obstacles to make the pathway straight for the man of God to arrive at the city of his calling. We've got to realize this morning that yes, God calls a man, and yes, the man goes to that city, but the going is not an easy feat. Not easy. Because you see, sometimes it's not in the same city that man of God is currently residing in. It could be a different city. It may be a different state. It may even be a different country. Do we really realize our foreign missionaries of what they sacrifice? They lead the greatest nation upon the face of the earth, the freedom and the liberty we enjoy every day of our existence, and yet they go to a country that some countries you cannot even preach openly in public. Why? Because they'll arrest you. And yet they go anyway. Why? Because God called them and God gave them a burden. Genesis chapter 12. Thank you, Rob, once again. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed. Abram departed. Abram had to forsake everything he knew. Abram had to leave his family, his friends, his homeland to go because God called him. And yet we do not find an argument of Abram. We do not find Abram debating his decision. The Bible simply says, Abram departed. A call that requires a step into the unknown. A call that requires sacrifice and change. A call that requires resolve and determination. And at times like Abraham, a call that requires a forsaking of everything we know to follow the leading of the Lord. And so Brother Roberts departed. And I have found that regardless of the scenario, if the man of God is called to a city with no church, and there through blood, sweat, and tears, and much prayer, that man of God begins a work for the Lord from nothing. To a man of God who's called to a city with an established church, with a congregation in existence, and yet God has called that man to that city to take that church to the next level of revival and harvest. And yet I have always found that regardless of the scenario, there is always a battle. There will always be those who will fight. There will always be a degree of opposition, of difficulty and struggle. An obstacle that the man of God must have to endure and face. And yet through it all, because God called him, and he heard the call of God, that man is willing to fight whatever devil comes his way, because the call of God is too great to quit. Paul wrote in church of Corinth, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Notice the very next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. A man of God who understands the weight that God has placed upon his shoulders to establish or to continue a work. There is a battle. There is a force. There is a struggle. And I've come to encourage you today that if we as a church, regardless of the battle and regardless of what comes our way, if we will continue to fight, if we will continue to push forward, if we will continue to advance, there's going to be a breakthrough in everything we want, everything we long for. God is going to give. The men of God arrive on location. And he begins to feel the heartbeat of the congregation. He begins to feel the need of the community. And in this process of feeling, a vision is birthed within the heart of the man of God. He begins to envision greater revival and moves of God. He envisions God doing greater things and pouring out his spirit in greater measures than what has ever been done before in that city. And as God, as a man of God, begins to work, his vision enables him to look beyond the now, but to look beyond or into the future. And this is where we need to be in 1 year. This is where we need to be in 5 years. This is where we need to be in 10 years. The vision never becomes stagnant or old. His vision becomes the centerpiece of every decision made. His vision becomes the foundation of the continued building up of the church. His vision becomes the focus of his leadership and the manner in which he leads and directs the church. His vision is now the anchor of all that he does. His vision now defines him. His vision becomes his identity. You cannot separate the man from his vision or his vision from the man. And now intertwined, for where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But let me just say this, and this is what I wanted to share with you this morning. The vision of the man of God is only as good, it's only as vibrant, as prosperous, as successful, as dynamic, as powerful, as effective, as the congregation that embraces the vision, makes it their own, and acts upon that vision. The vision of the man of God is only as good as the congregation. Of the ministries of the church, each church leader aligning themselves with the vision. During a time of pastoring, 1 year I felt God speak to my heart that this year we need to focus on Sunday school. And so it was like February, I preached and I just poured out my heart. This year, we're going to focus on building up our Sunday school. You know, I want to start a bus route. I want to reach our kids. And I just poured out my heart. I cast the vision. And all of a sudden, the congregation began to give. And when it was all said and done, we had enough money to buy a 19-passenger bus. And every Saturday, we met at the church, we prayed, and then we took the bus out. We threw out candy. We passed out tracts. We went to neighborhoods and parks. We wanted to reach kids. We gave out candy, bags and bags of candy. And I thought, my vision, the church has embraced my vision. But it wasn't long until only my wife and I showed up. It wasn't long until the same people were involved. And I began to wonder, did the people give simply because of the hype of the message? Or did they truly embrace the vision I cast? That when they embracing the vision, they declare, Pastor, we'll be right alongside you. And we'll help you accomplish what God has placed in your spirit. I had to question because it seemed like the same old people showed up. You see, vision dies not because the pastor no longer believes in his vision. You see, the vision dies not because he no longer envisions revival and greater moves of God. It's not because he no longer believes where God is wanting to take the church. But vision dies when the vision is cast and there's no one to pick up the vision. There's no one that will pick up the vision and make it its own. And to breathe sustaining life into the vision by putting the vision into action. You see, action brings life into vision. And we are the extension of the vision. The reason we're here today is because a man had a vision. A man who envisioned Church of Pentecost to be a vibrant force in the community for good. A place where people can find love, hope, and healing. A place where people can find a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A place where lives can be changed and transformed. A man who had a vision. Starting in a storefront. Not much to a storefront, is there? Limited parking, limited space. And yet, because of vision, he saw beyond a storefront. And look where we are today. And yet, we're making preparations to leave this building. Why? Because of vision! I believe today that the greatest gift that we can give Brother and Sister Roberts, the greatest blessing, is to commit, to consecrate, and to dedicate our lives to the vision. To embrace the vision. To make the vision our own. And to put that vision into action. And the greatest gift we can give to Cleveland is the same. Let me show you a demonstration. Well, Roberts. You see, a man of vision. But yet a man of vision, even though he's heard the call of God, God has given him a vision. And it takes guts to make changes. We love small groups. But it wasn't easy to make changes. Because you always have that one person. Well, that's not the way we've done it in the last 25 years. Again, a man with vision is willing to step out into the unknown. But, yes, he's heard the call of God. Yes, he's ordained and anointed by the Holy Ghost. Yes, he's a man of vision. But even a man of vision is only able to reach out so far. But if we as a church, understanding that we are an extension of the vision of the man of God, that we can begin to say, you know what, Pastor? I want to see what you see. I want to envision what you envision. Mimi. That entire row. You see, a man of vision can only reach so far. But when the church says, I want to see what you see, Pastor. I want to feel what you feel, Pastor. I want to envision what you envision. And so guess what? I'm going to align myself with the vision. Because now look at it. We've just become a greater force. We are just able to make a greater impact upon Cleveland. Why? Because we're doing it together. We've embraced the vision. We're putting vision into action. And now let me say this in closing. When battles come against the pastor, when opposition comes against the pastor, guess what? There's a whole other force the enemy has to reckon with. It's not just him alone. They've got to deal with everybody. Lock arms. And guess what? When the pastor moves, what happens? Everybody moves. Everybody moves. Because we've aligned ourselves with the vision. We are an extension of the vision. So let me ask you, where do you want to go? What do you want to experience in God? As you drive through the city of Cleveland, do you envision greater moves of the Holy Ghost? Do you envision God moving upon the drunkard, upon the prostitute, upon those who are homeless throughout our city, upon the banker and the doctor? What do you see? Because everything we desire will only be accomplished by this. We are an extension of the vision. Can we stand? You can be seated. Not you, yeah, just you guys. I know Nick is going to come. But I just feel this in the Holy Ghost. In the setting that we're in right now, I believe it behooves us to surrender ourselves and to commit to our pastor and his wife. Because of everything they've already done for us and his vision for this city, that I will not be in the right spirit if I do not call us to a time of commitment. For us, a time of surrender, that we would give ourselves to the vision, that we would allow God and the vision that's been cast to find root within our own hearts. That today we will declare, Pastor, here I am. I'll fight with you and I'll work with you because I've aligned myself. Can we just lift up our hands? And can we just allow the Holy Ghost to begin to birth within us a vision our pastor has cast? Lord, we thank you for the vision of our pastor. But Lord, we would be amiss if we do not allow ourselves to be the extension of the vision, to be a part of what you desire to accomplish in this city. And Lord, we are looking beyond now, but God, we're looking into tomorrow and the greatest moves of God and the greatest things you will do. And so today, God, we commit every consecrator, and Lord, we dedicate ourselves to the vision of our pastor. And God, we would align ourselves. And God, we would put vision into action.
Thank you, Brother Rob and Brother Stevens.